This information is subject to a disclaimer at the end of this podcast. Please ensure that you listen to the disclaimer and go to www.ubs.com for further information about UBS.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the UBS Global Research Pod Hub, a channel that shares insights from economists, strategists, and equity analysts like us on the pivotal questions and events shaping today's markets. My name is Andre Kuknin. I head the UBS Capital Goods Equity Research Team here in London, and I'm here with my colleagues Dan Major from Mining Team, Mark Freshney from Utilities, and Supriya Subramanian from Capital Goods from my team. In this episode, we're going to be talking about data centers equipment and implications from rapid growth in this space to other sectors. The background to this work is our detailed piece that we published from Capital Goods side on the data center space recently, where we outline the growth outlook for the sector of 15 to 20% in the near term, moderating only slightly to healthy double-digit 10 to 15% growth in the outer years. What is this driven by is three things that we highlight. Firstly, it's the annual data generation growth of nearly 30% that has got some upside potential from rising data center capacity intensity per zettabyte of data created. This is the AI proliferation phenomenon. Secondly, it's the rising power density. When we look at the AI GPU-based servers, they're five times more power dense than the traditional CPU-based ones, and hence requiring more power supply protection and distribution equipment, as well as critically cooling. And thirdly, we've looked at the data on planned versus absorbed capacity, and crucially at the current vacancy rates that are all-time lows and actually further declining, suggesting and supporting that growth outlook. The reason why I undertook this work from Capital Goods perspective is because we have a number of companies in our coverage in Europe and globally with up to 20% exposure of their sales into this specific vertical. What we also found as part of this work is that in the near term, the growth is rather supply than demand constrained, with key bottlenecks being in A, the grid connectivity, and B, in large-scale power equipment such as medium voltage transformers, switchgear, and UPS. With this intro, I'll turn to Dan for the implications from this fast-growing space to commodities in the mining sector. And Dan, given the large power usage of AI data centers and copper as a commodity that's most likely to benefit, how do you frame the potential demand upside from AI data centers growth for copper?
Yeah, thanks, Andre. So when we look at these various applications in the energy transition space, what we're really looking for is capacity additions rather than installed capacity, and then commodity intensity per unit. So in this case, if we look at estimates for commodity intensity or copper intensity per megawatt, Schneider Electric published a white paper a couple of years ago citing 65 tons of copper per megawatt. If we look at that versus around 7 gigawatts of global installation of data centers in 2023, that gives us a base consumption of about 450,000 tons. If we then extrapolate a 15% growth rate to that in line with our capital goods team's estimates on growth rate for power consumption, that would see total demand lifting to about 1.2 million tons by 2030, and that's growth rate about 110,000 tons per annum.
Thank you, Dan. And from your point of view, what are the key investor debates or pushbacks that you've received on this view?
Sure. Yeah, I would say, in general, the market has grabbed onto this as one of the sort of positive thematics for copper. And there's probably more comments from investors and from the market saying that our estimates were too conservative. And this debate's particularly there around the power intensity. And to your kind of point, Andre, earlier, AI data centers being a lot more power intensive, therefore they will use use a lot more copper. This is absolutely true. In an AI data centers, 4 or 5 times more power intensive, and the growth rates for data generation are likely to be higher than the 15 to 20% that we factor in for power consumption and therefore for copper. But it's worth noting we forecast based off gigawatts of installed power capacity, not off the number of data centers or the amount of data that they generate. So in 2023, 10% of data center shipments were AI data centers, but 40% scale for power density. So when we look at it, we're talking about growth rate in total power capacity, not number of data centers or the amount of power output. So I think the key, kind of debate was, are you being too conservative? But here we think that there's a differentiation there. The other key debate within copper in electrical networks and other energy transition applications is substitution opportunities. And again, here we would highlight that the main substitute is aluminium. Aluminium has slightly inferior but not too dissimilar characteristics for electrical transmission, but it is much more bulky. So you need more aluminium volume to transmit the same amount of copper. That isn't ideal for a space constrained application like a, like a data center where you have limited limited space within the facility. So we don't think there's a huge amount of ability to substitute away from copper in the power transmission within the data centers.
Thank you. And certainly on your point on rising power consumption, I think from our point of view, when we ran that maths on data center capacity versus annual data creation, and when we created the 15 to 20% forecast, we did not assume any meaningful further step up in that kind of intensity ratio of data center capacity versus annual data creation, while the latest kind of data points are actually pointing to that accelerating with AI proliferation. Maybe if we look at the global outlook for copper demand, how much do you think this will be impacted by the AI data centers?
Well, so if we look at 2023, the 450,000 tons that we estimate goes into data centers, around 1.5% of global demand, so not immaterial, but not a large market share. In our base case, 15% CAGR and a lift to 1.2 million tons, that would increase the kind of global market share to around 3%. So 110,000 tons per annum, adding less than 50 basis points of kind of global growth. In an upside scenario, 20% CAGR out to 2030, that would be 1.6 million tons, but only a market share of around 4%. So the way we would look at data centers is it's most likely not a game changer from a demand output. The dominant drivers of energy transition demand are still likely to be electrification of the drivetrain in autos and renewable energy. But what I would say is, data centers are one of a number of additive applications associated with energy transition, including charging stations, and in particular, the build out of the grid that we think will be a more dominant driver kind of going forward. So another supportive and additive driver, but not a game changer is how we would see it.
Great. Thank you, Dan. We now will be moving on to the utility sector and the implications there from fast growth in the data center space. Mark, over to you. Can you please talk about what your base case is for electricity demand and from data centers?
Okay, so look, let's start with where we're at now. European electricity demand is, including the UK and a few other countries outside of the EU, but within Europe, data centers are 2.5% of electricity demand, and the electricity demand is a little bit over 2,200 terawatt hours per year. A minimal amount of that 2.5% is AI. We have an extensive model where we've built a number of assumptions consistent with yours and consistent with consensus views for the growth of the market. And it gets to data centers as a whole. So that's normal data centers and AI data centers being 8.4% of electricity demand in 2030. Of the 8.4%, half is AI, half is regular data centers. And you know, some of the key assumptions in there, it's looking at the number of chips sold, it's assuming only 15% of the chips come to Europe, and also a little bit of natural demand growth and a small amount of electrical efficiency. To put that into perspective, that 8.4%, at the moment, chemicals, or petrochemicals, should I say, is the biggest user of electricity, and they take about 6% of European electricity production. So AI and data centers would theoretically become the biggest industry.
Thank you, Mark. And yes, that's certainly what we came up with a model when we took our tech team's server shipments model that assumes only modest growth in terms of number of servers. But when we actually adjusted and rated for the power density, AI being five times, and run that model with that kind of new weightings, that's where we arrive at as well, as sort of 50-50 in power terms. So with that 8.4%, what does that mean for the utilities companies?
So look, it, you know, one thing is the incremental electricity demand, but all else equal, it's grid connections and it's new renewable assets. So new incremental T&D and new incremental renewable capacity. If we look at the growth from 2.5% to 8.5% in isolation, we're looking at 115 billion euros theoretical extra capex. That's assuming low carbon sources, you know, fulfill the incremental demand. And of course, it's worth touching on the point here that if you're going to be building data centers, your customers or incremental, demands for electricity, the customers who build the data centers and those who use them will want to know that the energy is green, so they will want incremental renewable or low carbon capacity. That said, please do remember, similar to what our colleagues were talking about for mining, there are many moving parts in electricity demand. Chemicals and petrochemicals may see lower demand. AI may replace certain other industries and may displace other energy intensive industries. And of course, there is ongoing demand efficiencies at the household level. European electricity demand broadly is down 7% since pre-COVID average. So you've got to consider AI and data center demand within the bigger picture, and what we're saying is some is already within expectations. So look, you know, AI will partly offset other areas, and it's part of increased demand and increased supply as we move through to through the energy transition.
Got it. And in terms of what your companies are saying, is this a big theme for them already, or can it become big?
So yeah, look, the network and generation companies are not really seeing anything incremental. They see market commentary on data centers, and they've been seeing distribution grids have been seeing data centers as one of the big subsets connecting to the grid, the major ones being generation assets. But on the demand side, yes, they are seeing data centers and have been for some years. When we ask companies, they first of all look a little bit surprised, and they say, well, actually electrification of transport or heating are actually bigger themes for us than data centers. Where the conversations do go is to additionality, and that comes back to this point that if you're building a data center, you really want to be feeding it with low carbon electricity. The customer, the data centers want sleeves, so they want specific wind farms that they have contracted to avoid any kind of debate or concern on CO2 emission credentials. What this could do is drive a premium for renewable and low carbon generation. Right? So the argument is a wind or a solar farm is intermittent. In the case of the solar, it will produce electricity in the middle of the day when there's a surplus, hence it should have a discount. Actually, the conversation goes partly back the other way and saying, look, you know, if this capacity is earmarked for a data center, it needs a higher price to reflect the lower carbon credentials of the energy. So look, companies are not really seeing anything major now. It's caught up in the round, but it is having some effect on how incremental data centers think about sourcing their electricity.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I guess adding to that point of premium, it's the fundamental clash of data centers being 24/7, 365 days a year, 99.999 to the seventh availability with double or triple redundancies while you're trying to power them with something that is fundamentally only 25% available. So completely see your point there. Great. Thank you, Mark. We'll be now moving back to capital goods and implications here. And before I take you through on kind of what we're thinking from the broader sector perspective and the exposures of direct companies that play in this, we've asked Supriya to join us, who focuses on the thematic work across the sector and has published some detailed reports on AI implications for our sector, as well as the detailed work on grids. So Supriya, thank you for joining us. From the detailed work you've done on AI, and particularly Gen AI proliferation, from that point of view, what are the implications for the space? And also, you've done a lot of work on grids. I guess this echoes what Mark has commented, but is there anything would you like to add to that?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Andre. So on the AI side, we definitely see an increasing role of artificial intelligence in the automation businesses of cap goods companies, both from an internal basis, that is improving their own operating efficiencies and processes, as well as for external processes, that is, of course, you know, this is for companies that sell automation products and solutions to their customers. So overall, we see the smart manufacturing market, which was about, you know, $250-$300 billion in 2022. We see this market growing at about 13-15% CAGR over the next 7 years. And this, of course, implies increased AI usage, which would need more compute power, and correspondingly, of course, increased data center capacity requirements. On the grid side, you know, as Mark already cited, it's basically increasing power needs from data centers. And maybe just from a more global perspective, overall electricity consumption from data centers, including cryptocurrencies and AI as well, was about 460 terawatt hours in 2022. Which is nearly 2% of global electricity demand. And this, of course, it also depends upon the speed of deployment and potential efficiency improvements, et cetera. We see this electricity consumption from data centers increasing by another, could be 200 to 600 terawatt hours over the next 3 years, that is by 2026, which is equivalent to adding approximately at least one Sweden on the low side, or one Germany in terms of electricity consumption on the upper end. Now this, again, as sort of, again, reiterating what Mark and even Dan said, it is one of the factors, albeit one of the many factors that would drive faster electricity demand growth over the midterm. Bigger factors, of course, again, would be electrification and transport, buildings, etc. And this increased electricity demand would imply need for more grid investments, Now, grid investments, of course, also would be driven by other factors like increasing renewables penetration, a very aging grid infrastructure in the advanced economies, as well as an increasing emphasis on energy security, along with a lot of favorable policy support as well that we've seen recently. And overall, we see grid investments growing at about 8 to 12% CAGR from now until 2030.
Great, thank you, Supriya. And I guess thinking about broader implications for capital goods, I would highlight the following points. Firstly, on electrification side of data centers or gray space, so-called, that currently we think stands to benefit the most from these rising capacities, where we see that 15 to 20% growth near term, 10 to 15 midterm, and we're talking about kind of what would be a normal average hyperscaler of 100 megawatt capacity becoming 300 megawatt, and there are actually active discussions of gigawatt and higher scale campuses. That gray space benefits in volume terms from this directly, and according to the industry experts, pro rata, but also from the pricing perspective, where we've seen substantial appreciation over the last 2.5 years and continued positive pricing due to those capacity constraints and the vendors being able to price. When we look at the white space and specifically racks and rack power distribution units, we think these broadly keep up with the kind of capacity growth, but more in volume terms with less of a pricing benefit as it is less sold out. And when we look at cooling, we see one is the scope for scale economies to lead to a bit slower growth in that equipment compared to the actual megawatts growth in data center capacity. And also, we do see a risk of technology disruption there from liquid cooling, as the latest GPU chips that are currently being launched by NVIDIA, for example, exceed 1 kilowatt power rating per chip, and therefore are impossible to cool with air. Physically, and according to discussions with the experts that we held, and even the rear door heat exchanger solution, which is commonly accepted as the kind of liquid cooling, it's actually air still, but with liquid much closer to the actual heat source. And therefore, you basically need either direct-to-chip or immersion cooling, which is not really in the arsenal of most players that we have in capital goods that offer all types of other equipment in data centers. And we therefore expect investment in terms of in organic terms, but also from in acquisitions by the traditional data center equipment vendors into these technologies. With this, thank you very much for visiting the UBS Research Pod Hub. That was an introduction and overview of a data center space with me, Andrey Kuknin, head of European Capital Goods Equity Research, and my colleagues, Dan Major from mining team, Mark Freshney from utilities, and Supriya Subramanian from Capital Goods at UBS. Please do tune in for more investment insights.
This content has been prepared by UBS AG, its subsidiaries, and/or affiliates, and is purely informational in nature. It is not investment research and does not contain an investment recommendation, nor investment or professional advice. It is not an offer or solicitation to engage in any investment activity, and you should seek your own financial, tax, and legal advice before engaging in any such activity. UBS has no responsibility to you in relation to this content. It has no regard to your personal circumstances or investment objectives, and receiving it does not imply any form of client relationship with UBS for any legal, regulatory, or tax purpose. This content is not intended for distribution into any jurisdiction where to do so would be contrary to law or regulation. UBS does not accept any liability over the content of such material or reliance upon any information contained herein. The views and opinions expressed by any guest speaker or third party are not those of UBS. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over such views and opinions expressed by such persons. This content is the valuable intellectual property of UBS, and UBS specifically prohibits the redistribution of it in whole or in part without its prior written permission. Copyright UBS 2024. The key symbol and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. All rights reserved.